looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I mean, my hand really never warmed up, and my arm felt fine. My arm felt really good. You know, I just, you know, I had no clue where it was going. The bullpen wasn't too bad. You know, I mean, I felt my arm felt better in the game than it did in the bullpen. You know, it loosened up just fine. And, you know, my hands. You know, it's just I don't really know how to explain it or describe it. But, you know, it's something I've always had to deal with. This could be Game 7 of the World Series, so it's. You got to deal with it. And I didn't do that tonight.
So we'll get to the Yankee series. We will get to the Yankee series by all means. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, if you would open up the phones right away. Again, we'll get to all your calls here on the Red Sox. We didn't have a show last night, so I am going to dial it back here a couple of nights to the brawl, and more specifically, David Price. Then we'll take some big picture thoughts or offer some big picture thoughts on the Yankee series. Boy, that Yankees team blows right now, don't they, Murray?
Oh, they're a mess.
Holy crap, do they suck.
I really thought they would have like galvanized and come together after everything with the brawl the night before, and they take game two. And then last night they come out and, you know, just lay a complete fart.
Wow. Did the Yankees have that series go against the Orioles the way it did in New York, and then arrive here, win the second game after getting their tails kicked in the first, and then turtling again last night? To me, says more about the Yankees than the Red Sox.
Oh, definitely.
Okay? Says more. The Yankees are a mess right now. They really are. But again, 617-779-0985. I want to start with David Price. That is the comment he made after the game on, would have been what, Wednesday, right? And my days are all running together now, Murray.
Yeah.
The second game of the series, Price pitches one inning, gives up four runs, his requisite home run to Gary Sanchez, who owns him, and then goes into the dugout after the inning and doesn't come out for the second inning. We're going to play the sound for you again, because I just want everyone to pay attention to the words. Here is what Price said after the game.
Yeah, I mean, my hand really never warmed up. And my arm felt fine. My arm felt really good. You know, I just, you know, I had no clue where it was going. The bullpen wasn't too bad. You know, I mean, I felt my arm felt better in the game than it did in the bullpen. You know, it loosened up just fine. And, on my hands. You know, it's just, I don't really know how to explain it or describe it, but you know, it's something I've always had to deal with. This could be Game 7 of the World Series, so it's, you got to deal with it, and I didn't do that tonight.
Okay, so for all the things he said in that comment, here's the part of it that caught my attention. It's something I've always had to deal with. That's something I've always had to deal with. David Price, if we are to believe all of this at face value, and I'm not sure that I do, okay? I'm not sure that I do. I have a hard time believing this is all on the level. And part of me,
something definitely stinks here.
So I just wonder if the Red Sox are hiding something, Murray, right? That's all. Like, what is it really? And I'm not even thinking that it's necessarily the worst, because the easy thing to do is to default to Price's elbow and say his elbow's not right. And so this is a bigger problem, and then maybe they end up losing for the year again. Tommy John surgery, blah, blah, blah. I don't even think it's that. But that the other night, I can't say that I can ever encounter, or recall, rather, have ever encountering. I can't ever remember an occasion where a pitcher walked off the mound and then said afterward, I didn't pitch because my hand was so cold. I've never heard that one. Now, look, I'm not telling you that I'm Peter Gammons and I've covered 50 years of baseball, but I covered some. I covered 15, and I've talked about it for another 8.5. And I don't ever remember an occasion where a pitcher said, I've had a problem, my hand gets really cold, and I couldn't feel the ball, and so I came out of the game. Oh, but by the way, I'm pitching Tuesday. So all of a sudden, he's right back out there, albeit in Anaheim against the Angels with warmer weather. And Price stands there after the game and says, it's something I've had to deal with. For, you know, basically implying his whole career.
Well, his whole life. Never mind his whole career.
So here's what I want to know. What's going on?
Right. So if this is something that he had dealt with since he was a child, and you had tweeted about this too, there is a thing, there's a medical condition, Raynaud's phenomenon is one of the Raynaud's syndrome. So you can have cold fingers all the time. It happens. Or, you know, it comes from stress. It's an actual medical condition. So if that's it, shouldn't he have a diagnosis? Wouldn't he have had that at some point in his life?
You would think so.
I would think.
Go ahead.
So this is why I think, I don't know, something's not right here. And I thought initially, because as well as he's pitched, going back even to last postseason, this is stemming from the unique elbow, or maybe he had a nerve issue or something like that. I would like to believe he just didn't tap out of this game and he's using a cold hand as an excuse. If there's a real medical condition here, I would think he'd have a diagnosis at this point. That's really my bigger point.
I mean, the whole thing blows my mind. Really? You walk off the mound in the first inning, you don't get good back out there because your hand is cold? And let's say there is some sort of significant thing there with his hand. How come we never knew about it? If he's been dealing with it his whole life, why don't we know about it? Why isn't someone, did the Red Sox know about it when
right.
they signed him to a $217 million contract? Were they aware of that? Is this, you know, I hate to tell everybody this, but it isn't exactly toasty in October in New England. Not at night, which is when the playoff games are. And I know he looked dynamite in the postseason last year, and although certainly Price, A, was pitching out of the bullpen, and then B, beyond that, the games were in Houston indoors, at least the first couple. If I remember correctly, the third one in Boston was a day game.
Matt, just go back to a couple of weeks ago, opening day here. It felt like the middle of January. With the wind and everything, it basically felt like 36 degrees, and he was aces that day.
So I want to know, here's what I'm saying, Murray, okay? On this one, if I'm covering the team, and I'm not trying to come off as one of these people who says, well, when I covered the team, we did it this way, and these beat guys suck. No, there are some good people over there, some, who cover that team and have for a long time. Can somebody please ask the questions? And somebody who's close to Price and has a relationship with him say, is this for real? Like, there have been these pictures circulating on the web of what looks like a bruise under Price's fingernail on his left index finger. Okay, one that would obviously grip the baseball. Did he hit himself with a hammer or get his finger stuck in a car door? Like, or did he split a fingernail? And this is all some sort of ruse or cover because he couldn't go. Or if this is real and he does have some sort of odd medical, what would you call it, Murray? Help me out here. Condition.
Condition, medical okay? condition.
Is some sort of odd medical condition in which his hand genuinely does get cold. And when I was reading up on this Raynaud's disease that you were talking about, it can be brought on by cold temperatures and stress. Well, what are you going to get in October, Murray?
Right.
You're going to get cold temperatures and stress. Like that, it just, the whole thing really makes me go, whoa, did the Red Sox know this? Has he ever even really been diagnosed? What the hell is this? Like, I found it alarming. And I know they play baseball during the summer, but the big games are in the cold. They're in the cold. And so, I'm not telling you I believe that this thing is what they're saying it is, that it's even any sort of condition. I'm just telling you, I'd like to find out what's going on. Either it is some sort of weird condition, in which case, I want to know what the Red Sox knew when they signed him and what Price has ever been able to do to combat it. Like, to me, there is a big story there, or there's something else going on that they're hiding.
Now that you're talking about whether or not the Red Sox knew, the first thing I'm thinking of is how they handled Drew Pomeranz. They clearly didn't do their due diligence on him with everything, the way that played out. So they make the deal, and afterwards, this whole thing blows up. They find out, you know, via the Padres, as they get caught, that there was actually an issue with his arm. Did they really do their due diligence with David Price before they signed him? Probably not, you know? If they didn't do it with one guy, Dave DeBrusque didn't do it with one guy. He wanted to have that marquee guy in the front of that rotation. David Price was that guy to sign that offseason. So maybe it was like, you know, we know what we're going to get there. We're not going to, you know, go 100% and look into every little detail here with any issues with this guy. It's David Price. He was the king of that free agent class. We got him, and we'll just deal with any issues later.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Because this could, you know, if this is a real thing, this is going to be a reoccurring problem.
But correct me if I'm, there were a lot more to questions to be answered here is what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
Murray.
Definitely.
So I just, the fact that he said it two nights ago and there hasn't been any sort of significant follow-up other than when he's pitching again, I would like there to be more of a follow-up. To me, there's a significant story there. Again, either they're covering something up that did prevent him from coming out of that, did force him to come out of that game, or He does have some sort of weird thing with his hand, in which case I want to know all about whether the Red Sox knew it. And remember, Dombrowski had him in Detroit. So Dave Dombrowski had him there, too. Did it happen when they were in Detroit? Like, to me, this is all stuff I'd like to know. We'll get to the series, too. 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight, though, with Tom in Fitchburg, who wants to talk about David Price. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Tony, can you hear me all right?
Yes, go.
Hey, listen, David Price, you know, already a recurring theme with this guy, okay? So he's got tingling I forget what I was going to say, but he's being a baby. He's already talking like he wants to talk like a big shot, but when he talks, he steps on his tongue all the time. He said, this happened to me before. Okay, but why didn't the Red Sox know that, Tony? You know that.
Okay, so Tom, this is what I'm telling you. I want to find out. But here's the other thing. Murray, do you believe that it affected him on the mound the other night?
I guess. You know,
Or do you think he just pitched bad and the Yankees kicked his head in?
I mean, based on how it's been for David Price since he became a member of the Boston Red Sox, I have to think there could be a mental aspect to it, too.
Okay.
Or maybe he's being coddled by the manager, so they didn't want to have him look worse at that point. It was already 4-0. You don't feel it tonight, we're going to take you out of the game.
So I'll tell you what. I think it affected him on the mound the other night. Okay? So what I'm telling you is that I don't believe it's imaginary. Something happened.
Well, he couldn't throw a strike to save his life.
Well, and that's why, Murray. It's not the 4 runs. Guy gives up 4 runs, fine. It happens, right? I mean, you play a lot of games. This guy throws strikes. Sometimes he puts the ball in the middle of the plate, and he shouldn't, but he doesn't. Look up the pitches and strikes from the other night.
No, I think it was he threw like 12 or 13 strikes.
Out of like 30-something pitches,
yeah.
Right? I mean, he missed about 65% of the time. And that is, for any big league pitcher, that's absurd, let alone one who has won a Cy Young Award and generally pounds the strike zone. Like, that is wildly unusual. Quickly, Jeff is in a car. Jeff on David Price, go.
Hey, Big Jim Murray, do you remember the movie Back to School?
Yeah, of course.
I feel like David Price is Chaz.
Oh.
At the end of that movie, when he fakes the injury so he doesn't have to dive, I got a cramp, and then he hobbles off the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I felt like was going on when I was watching that.
So, Jeff, you think the whole thing's made up?
Yeah, I think this is garbage. I think he knew out of the gate he didn't have it. He didn't want to be embarrassed on the mound. He told Corey he didn't have it, and they're like, all right, we'll just come out then, and we'll deal with it.
Okay, so look, again, I don't rule out that possibility, too. This guy is mentally brittle. I don't rule out that one either. But if that's the case, boy, he really screwed Rick Porcello last night. Porcello went back out there after a rain delay because they had to use a bunch of relievers the night before because Price only went 1 inning. And for a manager who has said that he wants to protect the guys in the rotation and that he's going to be careful with them in the early part of the year, sending a starter back out after a rain delay, I don't care how many pitches he's thrown, is not a safe thing to do. So I'm telling you that Cora did something he didn't necessarily want to do last night. And I thought he managed the whole game that way with his pitching staff because he had Walden out there in the ninth of a 6-0 game, and he was just trying to use as few people as possible last night. 617-779-0985. I want to ask you a question about the Yankee series in terms of what the single best development from that Yankee series was for the Red Sox. Okay, what was the best development for the Red Sox in that series with the Yankees? I'll tell you what my thought is when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A little pop up down the left field line, moving Stanton over near the stands. Still coming, and it's going to fall in. And that's a fair ball. It took a bounce, and Stanton was still heading toward the stands. And here comes Nunez in to score as it bounced into the crowd, and it's 5-0, and that one ate him up.
I mean, that wasn't even close for Stanton out there in left field. He's going to the wall. He's got his hand up against the wall, and he's about 7 to 10 feet from the baseball. He totally misread that. And the wind tonight, whatever breeze there is blowing out towards center field.
To me, that the Yankees just played like garbage, really, the whole series. Even the game in the middle, they almost blew an 8-1 lead. They give up a grand slam. The manager was slow getting Tanaka out of the game. The Red Sox cut it to 8-6. And if you ask me, the Red Sox would have won the game if Matt Barnes had gone in the seventh inning and walk the leadoff man to give the Yankees two runs back. Okay, so, you know, to me, the Yankees really, last night's game in particular was a giveaway. It really was. Now, New York didn't score until the very end. Porcello was good. But in terms of the runs the Red Sox scored, most of them were just giveaways, really. Let's go to Michael in Medford. Michael, what do you got?
Well, you were mentioning about the development, and you didn't give your point of view on it.
I will in a minute.
Oh, okay, because I thought it was after the cleat situation. I thought it was like a shot of adrenaline for the whole team. They all came together, not that they weren't before, but this one really brought them together as a team, and that was my take on that. But I'm also confused about the cleat rule. I mean, can you cleat somebody? You can do more damage below the ankle, tendon, calf. I didn't understand when they said you can cleat them, but it has to be above the knee. And I'm saying...
Yeah, so Michael, here's what I'll tell you, and thank you for the call. I'm going to let you go just because I want to try to zip through calls. There is no quote-unquote rule, okay? There's no real rule. There's a code, and when I say code, just a really form of etiquette in the game. You're not supposed to spike anybody, period. So above the knee, below the knee, it doesn't matter. Chipper Jones had a tweet about this the other day. You go up with your spikes up and hit someone, you're going to get drilled when you step in the batter's box. It's really that simple. You don't go up and hit someone with your spikes, whether it's on the ankle, above the knee, the calf, the foot, whatever. Okay, now if it's incidental, sometimes you slide in, you know, a guy's foot's in front of the bag, or then it's incidental. But this guy put his foot out. Okay, Tyler Austin put his foot out with the intention of spiking Brock Holt, of making contact, and he had his spikes up, so he spiked him. I mean, to me, there was no gray area. And him saying he didn't expect retaliation when he got in the box, please, he knew it was coming. If he didn't, I guarantee you that someone on his team told him. Now, as for what was the best development for the Red Sox in the series, you wouldn't be wrong to say that. I'm not telling you there's a right answer. But if you believe that there was some value in the Red Sox having that incident the other night, and then maybe they were galvanized, I don't think that's a bad one to pick. Again, it's not what I picked from the Yankees series, but it's not a bad choice. James is in Natick. Go ahead, James.
Hey, Maz. A couple years ago when Porcello won the Cy Young, there was a series against the Yankees where he really got my attention. That was when he thought someone was stealing his signs. I think it was Headley, so he went up to him when he was on third base. He started chirping at him. The fire he showed on the mound last night, I feel like that attitude, that badass attitude for Porcello is back. It looks like he's keeping the sinker down, so he's less susceptible to the long ball. I think these are some good early signs that he might be having to bounce back here. I'm not saying he's going to win the Cy Young, but at least be a valuable third starter this year, unlike last year.
Yeah, so James, he's been good so far, and last night it was good to see. And again, I like emotion in general. It tells me that a guy's invested. Now, the absence of it doesn't always mean that a guy's just going through the motions. Some guys just don't show emotion. Just the way they are. Doesn't mean that they don't care. There are those who don't care, but I'm just saying the body language can be tricky. So in the case of Porcello, sure, I'll take it when he's more engaged. No two ways about it. And I see a number of you lined up wanting to talk about David Price. So before I get that, let me just close the loop, so to speak, on this Red Sox-Yankees series. And this is not even pertaining to the brushback incident, call it whatever you want, with Tyler Austin the other night. So I asked a question a minute ago for you: what was the development of the best development of the Yankee series? What was the best development for the Red Sox? And for me, the runs that they scored. And the reason I say that is because last year, the Yankees shut them down. They didn't score against this team last year. They only scored 59 runs in 19 games, is a little over 3 per game. They couldn't score against New York. They had a 14-run game in there. They had a 7-run game in there and a 6-run game in there. So to me, I look at it and say, okay, maybe now they've gotten some answers. Murray, if I were to ask you, with all this talk about launch angle and everything else in the Red Sox new approach, how many home runs they have hit now in 12 games? Do you have any idea?
Is it 8?
10.
Okay. And I know they have 3 grand slams.
And where do you think the 10 ranks?
Oh, in Major League Baseball?
In the league. Again, just to, and I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's all good. I don't know. How about 11th?
Bingo.
Okay.
Dead on. You nailed it. So again, they're still near the bottom of the league in home runs. but their home runs have been timely. And you mentioned the three grand slams. To me, this is a sign of a good approach. That when you get the bases loaded and you're ahead in the count or first pitch, you know that you're going to get a fastball. So you're ready to hit it.
So this is probably kind of what you're saying too, but my biggest takeaway from that series, and even though I did think ultimately it was more about the Yankees than it was the Red Sox, but for the Red Sox, their resiliency is real. You know, those comebacks against the Rays, as impressive as they were still against the Rays, which is essentially a AAA organization, so I have to take them with a grain of salt. But even game two, they're down 8-2 on a night that, you know, it didn't feel like it was going to be your night. David Price is out of the game in the first inning. Down 8-2, fifth inning, bang, grand slam. It's 8-6. Yankees have been shaky since the beginning of the season. You know they're probably going to start crapping their pants. Now, they got a few back from Matt Barnes, but they stayed in that, made it competitive. Hell, they even gave him a little bit of it almost felt like it was going to go sideways on Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning of that game. So they kept fighting. And then last night, after the Yankees getting that brawl, feels like that gives them a jolt. Figure they're going to come back. All right, now we have an identity. We're going to take this series, and you know the Yankees are going to be back. Red Sox went out there, and they took it right to them last night and stepped on their throats. Their resiliency is real.
No, it's an impressive thing so far. It is. And again, I just think it's funny that they really haven't hit home runs at a better pace than they did a year ago. But it feels like they have. Because they've
been monsters.
Bingo. Right. Again, to me, that speaks to the approach. That not only are they getting into good counts with men on base, but then they swing the bat, not with the idea of hitting an opposite field single, but of hitting a ball off or over the wall. And those are getting you 3-4 runs at a time in some cases. 617-779-0985. I see a bunch of you lined up who want to talk about David Price's quote-unquote condition.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I said earlier that David Price situation, I find it mystifying. I have a hard time believing it's on the level. That Price somehow, his hand got cold, he had numbness in his hand, it's something he deals with, he couldn't feel the ball, and you know, that's it. And if that's true, I hope the Red Sox knew about this when they signed him. You know, or maybe it's better if they didn't, now that I think of it. You sort of look at it and say, if this guy's going to pitch in October, and he has trouble there because his hand gets cold, and then there is a condition out there where your hand can get more affected than a normal person by cold temperature or stress. And in October, a baseball pitcher is going to get both. Like, talk about a worst-case scenario. I want someone to really poke around with Price and find out what the hell this thing is. He said he's dealt with it for a long time, or his whole life, whatever the exact comment was. It's just it's hard to believe that we didn't hear about this sooner. Mike is in Boston. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Good.
So you're talking about Raynoids.
Let me just stop you quickly because people don't know that it has a name. Raynoids condition, is that what it is?
Yeah, so it's a condition she has. It's hereditary, and it's in her extremities. And what happens is that you just lose sensation in your hands and your toes. And you won't be able to really feel anything, almost like it's numb, but it's temperature driven. So just wanted to pass that along to you because that could pose some concerns later on in the year.
Okay, and it's called Raynoids.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there you go. Now look, we don't know if this is what Price has. Right? I mean, we're speculating at this point.
Yeah, it's just a guess. Obviously, neither of us are doctors.
So. But the other thing is it hasn't been reported anywhere that this is what he has. I would like someone to find out what the hell is going on with David Price. Really, the Red Sox now have bumped him to Tuesday in Anaheim. And remember that it's a holdover, or as I used to call them, hangover weekend series with the Orioles because there's a game on Monday. The Patriots Day game is on Monday. As is customary, they'll play an 11 a.m. game here. Then they'll hop on a plane and they'll head out to the West Coast and they'll face the Angels. David Price is going to pitch out in Anaheim, where obviously it's a hell of a lot warmer than it is here. And I have to believe that was a significant factor in the decision to have him pitch out there. Again, assuming this isn't all just some sort of elaborate cover to something else that is going on with Price, but if it were some sort of significant injury, they wouldn't bump him to Tuesday. I wonder about something else. Like, did he hurt a finger? Did he split a nail on his finger? Did anyone tell us he's a blister problem? You know, Derek Lowe was very sensitive about talking about blisters because he had a great deal of difficulty with them and they became frustrating. So, but this Raynaud's disorder, if that's what it is, that Price can't feel or he loses sensation in his hand when it gets cold or when he's under stress, is, I would like to know if the Red Sox knew about this. It's hard to imagine that you're going to sign a guy to a $217 million contract if his hand goes numb in October. So I want to know more about it. Jeff is in Tewksbury. Jeff, go.
Hi. Love your show. Thanks for having me, Tony. I'm an MD, so I'm a doctor, and I've seen many cases. The name of this is not Raynaud's. It's Raynaud's, and I actually have it myself. So basically, cold receptors in your wrists and your neck shut down the arteries to do the ends of your fingers, so they get turn a waxy white color and they get numb.
Okay, so Jeff,
for a pitcher,
Jeff, I'm just going to stop you quickly because again, we don't know for sure that this is what Price has. My one question though is it curable?
No,
okay.
It's not. It's also unpredictable. So he could have pitched the other day, and he'd have no problem. And then the next seemingly similar conditions, he gets the problem. You never know when you're going to get it.
Terrific.
It's not serious, but it's bad news for a pitcher pitching in October. That's for damn sure.
Okay, and look, to me, it was something that clearly affected his ability to feel the baseball. Because a guy that throws strikes like Price does is not going to be as erratic as he was the other night, unless he's injured or there's something weird going on. Steve is in Boston, wants to talk about Joe Kelly in the Yankee series. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good.
I am not an MD. I'm not a doctor. I do have a lot of conditions, though. But I do want to talk about Joe Kelly. I think the best outcome from that series was him getting suspended. Joe Kelly, get off my team.
So, Steve, look, I understand there's a punchline in there, but my question to you is, did your opinion of him change at all during the incident? Did you gain any respect for him at all?
I'm going to fight back. He fought back. Big deal.
Okay.
No, I want him to pitch. Pitch. Do your job. Pitch.
Okay. So there are a number of people that say they have gained respect for Kelly in this whole thing, that there's a side of Joe Kelly that they didn't know about. And I will say that.
I'm one of those people.
So, as am I to a degree, Murray. Like, I was surprised that he stood there and said, okay, come on, let's go. You mad? Come on out here, let's fight it out, and then we're done. You know, it took him a couple of tries to pull it off. So one of the things that did bug me about the whole, and Chris Gasper touched upon this on the Felger and Mass show earlier in the day, this idea that somehow the Red Sox handled it the right way and did it a lot better than they did a year ago in Baltimore and all of that. It took Kelly two shots to hit him. Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley were standing on the perimeter of the thing the whole time. It took Mookie Betts forever to get in from the outfield, and they were chuckling out there, so I'm not sure that was the greatest sign of solidarity. Christian Vasquez never got his ass out from behind the plate to prevent Tyler Rossum from charging the mound in the first place. Now, look, in the aggregate, I like what I've seen from the Red Sox in terms of fight here in the early part of the year. And I don't mean that literally. I mean it competitively. Okay, there's been some spirit there, which is a good sign. They look like they're all sort of pointed in the right direction for the most part. But that thing the other night wasn't exactly perfect.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. The Mookie Betts thing with Jackie Bradley Jr., that annoyed the hell out of me. Like, you're either in this or you're not. But, you know, with Joe Kelly, I mean, that's a guy I only want to see in mop-up duty. I don't trust him in any high-leverage situation in late innings, as he's proven to puke himself time and time again. So, if anything, I've always looked at him as like a Daniel Bard type. But with that, I don't know. There was some edge there. I like that. But, yeah, it wasn't 100%, all good for the Red Sox, the way that whole thing was handled. Even Christian Vasquez, too. You know, like, how much did he even make a true attempt to stop, you know?
He didn't. He didn't, Murray. He didn't. And I found that irritating maybe more than anything. It's a catcher's one of, like, that's catching 101.
Yeah.
You hit a guy
arguing on his behalf, like, have sent me photos on Twitter or whatever, saying, like, oh, no, he's grabbing his jersey. Was he really trying to stop
him? No. He was way too late.
Yeah.
He was way too late. He should have been standing on the other side of him so that Austin had to go through him to get to Joe Kelly. It would have just prevented the whole thing. Vasquez was in a spot to prevent the whole thing, because if he had walked out to the other side A, Austin wouldn't have gone, but then Austin would have started talking to Vasquez. The benches would have emptied and would have stopped the whole thing. It would have stopped it right then and there. So Vasquez, to me, made a big mistake there. Now, again, overall, the spirit of the Red Sox here in the early part of the year, hard not to like it. James is in Holbrook. James, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I'm going to bring some positivity here. You know, enough of that. I think Hanley Ramirez is probably one of the best things that have happened to the Red Sox in the last 3 years since Ortiz has left. I think he's been more than a Band-Aid since Ortiz. If I can have Hanley Ramirez or Manny Ramirez in a clutch situation, both in their prime, I would take Hanley Ramirez. Hanley Ramirez, if you compare him to David Ortiz is always pulling the ball. Hanley Ramirez hit that walk-off. He got a nice thing, hit it to the opposite field. He could hit from wherever the ball is all over the plate. I think he just has a great eye, and I think he could be one of the best clutch hitters of all time.
Okay, so I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that I want him up there over Manny. And I also think you're wrong about Ortiz. Ortiz didn't just pull the ball. Hanley's always been able to hit. The question is whether Hanley's been able to stay focused. And it looks to me like the Yankees made a concerted effort last night, obviously, to come inside on him. Because if you remember, the night that Hanley beat Severino, or the Red Sox beat the Yankees, a 14-1 game, in the first inning, and I say Hanley beat Severino, Severino threw him this nasty slider on the outside corner. Might have even been off the plate. That Hanley hit up the middle. So I think the Yankees saw this. I mean, Hanley's covering the whole plate, particularly the outer half. Because I think the book on Hanley in terms of getting him out, like most skilled right-handed hitters, is to try to get him to chase a slider off the plate. Except Hanley's now hitting it. So I think what the Yankees said is, well, if he's covering that outside part like that, we got to come in and knock him down. We got to get him off the plate because he's covering too much of it. And as it was, he took a pitch in the hand, and he's out of the lineup tonight. So we'll see whether or not he's in there tomorrow or over the weekend. Certainly, I expect him to play over the weekend. Cora talked about him briefly before tonight's game. But I would hope that Hanley Ramirez is back in there. So he has been one of the true bright spots of the team thus far.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of ever.